Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kelly S., and somebody needs to mute. And I am recovered compulsive overeater from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today is Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We are on page 57. That first paragraph, it says, what is this but a miracle of healing? Through that one paragraph ending with, his maker, then he knew. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Herbert F., Ilana P. will be reading the text, Lynn S. reading page 164, and Susan S.H. is our backup reader today. So our newcomer reader after the meeting is Chris W., and second hour host is Christine G. So the reference number for yesterday, Monday, November 4th, 2024, in case you want to hear that meeting, again, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21883, 21883, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21884, 21884. So here's our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Karen W. I'm a compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen W. And next, I will have Herbert F. read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning, and good morning, everyone. I'm Herbert S., a recovering compulsive overeater from New Mexico, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you so much, Herbert F. Okay, guys, here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We'll read a paragraph or two from the literature. Then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics, page 57. First paragraph, it says, "What is this but a miracle of healing?" through one paragraph ending with "his maker, then he knew." And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And Ilana P. is going to get us started with reading. Good morning, Ilana.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you very much. Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh. What is this but a miracle of healing? Yet its elements are simple. Circumstances made him willing to believe. He humbly offered himself to his maker, then he knew. And this miracle of healing, it's happened to me, it's happened to many of us. And yet, for this man, it was quick, it was sudden, almost instantaneous. For me, it didn't happen that way. But over the years of relapse, back in recovery, relapse again, I couldn't stop eating. I couldn't stop starving. I couldn't stop the behaviors that were making my life miserable. But I had the willingness, and my willingness, excuse me, that's the most important thing. Back on page 12, it says, it was only a matter of being willing to believe that in a power greater than myself. And I was always trying to analyze my higher power, to figure it out, to, like, what do I have to do? What do I have to say? Who is this power that's bigger than me? And once I was desperate enough, I was able to let go of all of that, surrender, figuring anything out, saying to myself, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you are, but I know that you're there and I surrender my life to you. And when I could do that, I felt the presence of God in my life like I never did before. All I had to do was to become 100% willing to believe. And then I knew. And when I did that, everything shifted for me. And I'm just very grateful to be able to share on this meeting and to be with all of you on this path of recovery. Thank you. I pass.
Hey, Ilana, where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, sorry, I missed it. Thanks. All right. Well, thanks for getting us started. Okay, so we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that means if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, Please allow others the opportunity to share today, and please try to keep your share to 3 minutes. So give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from.
Lisa Elena B. in Colorado.
Katie G.
Elena C.
Larry K.
Katie G.
Daria
F.
Larry. Okay. Who was that last person?
Daria F.
Daria F. Okay, let me tell you who I got because it's all
important. Okay.
It sounds like a Lisa B., a Katie G.,
yes.
Elena C., Larry K., Daria F. Was there somebody I missed?
Vasa O.
Hannah Yetta R.
Hannah Yetta R.
Vasa O.
Got
thank
to Vasa.
You.
Anybody else? All right. Well, that sounds like a good lineup. So make sure everybody presses star one so we can have a quiet meeting. And we'll get started with Lisa B. followed by Katie G. Good morning, Lisa. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. I'm calling from Colorado.
All right.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and this paragraph, it's short, but it's sweet, and it says so much. My sanity was restored. It was an absolute miracle, and it is simple. It's not easy because we hold on to our ego and our control. What seems like control is actually just a desperate attempt to hide how much we are out of control with the eating. And we just have to believe that God is there for us, that God is the answer, that we can hand anything over to Him because He can handle it. We can't. This is too much for one person to handle, this addiction to food. And once I have given my life and my will over to God, it is a process because it's relief almost to the point of bringing me to tears because my whole life was spent trying to play God, and I didn't even know it. Like, I thought that I had to get myself out of this, that my thinking would, I had to prove to myself that with my thinking, I could get out of this, and it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. And to be humble, to offer myself to my Maker, it's a constant reminder. I have to lean into step three constantly because my addict wants to take its will back. And it just doesn't work. It's like the cravings come in and I feel agitated and doubtful and all that, discontented. But when I rely on God, all of that just dissipates. All of that just vanishes. So beautiful. I am just so astounded that God put the 12 steps in my path, and it is a design of living that works. And with that, I pass. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa B. from Colorado. Next up, we have Katie G., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. Yeah, I mean, thanks be to God. I have had a miracle of healing. I am so not perfect, though. I have had moments of temptation, but I'll tell you what that looks like today as a recovered woman. As we all know, you know, we're in the season of the Holy Trinity, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and anything else you want to celebrate. To be honest, and there was so much Halloween candy in my house. And we went trick-or-treating 4 times because that's what kids do these days. And, you know, at one point I had the smell of candy. And what's so amazing is that I immediately had a great revulsion. And that is what it means to be recovered today. I am not cured, right? Like, recovered to me today means that for these 24 hours, I am a compulsive eater, but I'm not suffering from compulsive overeating. I also really like that it talks about circumstances made him willing to believe. You know, for me, that's not the external circumstances. It's that inside circumstance. So when I was suffering from exercise bulimia in these rooms, I would have these like glimmers. I remember looking in the mirror and saying, Katie, the gig is going to be up. And then finally the gig was up. Every ounce of my DNA, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it. And what this paragraph is about for me is all I knew, like this, I had this terror, it's not going to work for me. It worked for everybody else, and it's not going to work for me. But all I knew in step two was that nothing was working, nothing, right? And I move on to step three and accept God, but I didn't know if he was going to extend his hand. But I was willing to put down the exercise bulimia. I had to have that realization of the first step, right, that pushed me into step two, right, the insanity of my thinking, and bring me finally on my knees to God. And I'll tell you, when I put that down, God comes running. And God is a friend to me today. I wake up in the morning, I talk to God. I talk to God about what's going on for me today. But I also, like, God has restored me to sanity, but that doesn't mean my first thought is always saying, I am cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs a lot of the time. But the difference today is that I know it. I can do a step 10 and get back to God. So that's it. That's my message today. Don't be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Katie G. from Boston, Mass. Next up, Elena C., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C., recovered in South Carolina. I'm so glad to be back. I was 2 weeks in my country to visit my mother. I was not able to directly participate here, but it's good to be back and hear your voices. The first word that jumps from this paragraph is healing. And for me, healing or recovery is the process of maturation and evolution towards God, towards myself, and ultimately towards God's children, my fellow human. And that is absolutely amazing, because without this program, I was in psychotherapy due to the trauma that I had in my life, among others, grown with an alcoholic parent. But even with that, I wasn't able to heal as much as I am healing here. You know, and the combination of two is complete for me. And what that means that even in psychotherapy, without this program, I was stuck. I came to a certain degree of healing, and then I plateaued there. And what happened as I look back is my justification of some of my beliefs, thoughts, feelings, my justification of them in the light of what happened around me. I was like, well, if this happened, this is why I'm doing that. In this program, I'm growing beyond that justification. I am growing towards God, whom I can certainly center myself into and see the circumstances as detached, you know. And what that means is, I don't mean that I'm closing my eyes and ignoring, disregarding. It means that I am separate from those circumstances. And with God of my understanding, I can send compassion towards those circumstances, curiosity towards those circumstances and the humans that are involved in it. I can send peace and love and take care of myself. God takes care of me better than anyone else could, including me. And isn't that amazing? You know, and in Romania, I was not perfect. And I reacted, and reactivity for me today is non-recovery responses, again, justification. But I had an aversion towards my reactivity, and I can switch on to pay my attention, turn my attention onto God, guidance, and would that help best? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Daria F. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for your service. I'll set my timer. Okay. So, you know, but what is this but a miracle of healing, yet its elements are simple. Circumstances made him willing to believe. He humbly offered himself to his maker. Then he knew. This paragraph focuses on the simplicity of miracles, and I've heard it said that it's not that men and women like us cannot believe in miracles. It's just that I need to be shown how. And for me, the person who is spiritually attuned knows the difference between himself and his creator or God. You know, because so often in life we strain. You know, to push ourselves to the limit. We try to make things happen, work harder, you know, don't be so lazy, get your act together. And don't get me wrong, I'm definitely in favor of dedication and discipline when it comes to this program, but when it's done with love and self-compassion and respect for myself and others, and yet it's equally important to remember that many of life's miracles, like a child being born, a cut on your skin, healing, falling in love. That, you know, that happens naturally. It happens instinctually. No textbook, no lesson plan required, no special training or licensing, no extra forces needed. The miracle just happens. It's an organic thing. And as human beings, we have incredible intuitive abilities and instincts. But many of us have gotten so caught up in negative emotions. You know, we got the fear and the guilt and the shame and the self-blame. And we become so consumed by busyness and distractions that, you know, for me, we can lose touch with our true essence and we try to push and force and all that stuff. So I try to consider to keep in mind that just like the, you know, like a mother chicken, she lays and hatches and raises her chicks. You know, much of what we need to create a miracle is already embedded within ourselves. If I stop straining and simply allow myself to return to my essence, I'm going to be much better off. And, you know, each one of us, I believe, I don't know if you believe, but I believe we're a remarkable miracle. Now that said, the Big Book reminds me that the practical program of spiritual action is and always has been the implementation of the 12 steps. Everything else you hear other than working the steps is designed as the handrails to support you while you work the steps. You know, a carpenter climbs a ladder, someone climbs a ladder to get to the roof. Well, he steadies himself. He holds on to the handrails. But I can assure you, he doesn't confuse the handrails with the steps that get him to the roof. So, you know, for me, this is a miracle of healing. And the obsession to compulsively overeat was lifted. And there's my timer. I'll just wrap with this, Kelly. It was lifted. And you guys clapped and gave me a coin. And we have my abstinence state. But no one clapped or gave me a coin when I stopped hating my mother. There are so many miracles if I look for them. With that, I pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Daria F. followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Daria. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Daria F. calling from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here and so grateful for all the shares to this point. I think every person covered some point that I wanted to make. But, you know, when I look at my notes here, you know, I have a note here where it says miracle of healing. Is it available to me? Why do I not believe? And that was, I've been in OA for about 8 years, and I think that's the core of it for me for a long time, because I felt I had to make this happen. I had to control it. I had to, you know, I had to force it. I had to, you know, I had to get recovered, darn it, now. And I kept disappointing. I kept being disappointed because, of course, it has to be the miracle. It has to be It's not something I make happen. It's something that I receive. It's a gift. And I had a difficult time and still do letting go of control. And for me, it's been, you know, I can use the analogy of peeling the onion, but the onion skins are very, very thin at this point. And I still need to remind myself that I have been created in such a way, I like to say I'm perfectly and wonderfully made for God's purpose. And that means I need to unclench my fists, open my hands, just stand there quietly, be still, and accept what God has for me every day. So thank you all for the shares before, because again, they've said so much of what I wanted to say, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Daria F. from Michigan. So next up, we have Vasa O. followed by Hana Yetta. Good morning, Vasa. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. I'm calling from Florida. Good morning, Pat Kelly. Thank you for your service. And I am Vasa O, calling from Florida. And I did not believe in miracles. I didn't believe in God until I came to believe. So I remember before I came to the 12-step program, though, I remember praying to God and saying, God, if you're out there, please help me. Show me where you are. I didn't even know anything about the 12-step programs. I didn't know anything about food addiction. I didn't know anything about allergy. I had no clue about any of that stuff. The only thing I knew, I'd been dieting and trying to put the food down for many, many, 25 years of my life until we came to America and I discovered all these junk foods, gained like 20 pounds in 1 month. But anyways, so the miracle thing for me was once I prayed, not too long after that, I met somebody that belonged into Overeaters Anonymous, and she 12-stepped me for about a week. We talked about food addiction, we talked about the 12 steps, and I was just so ready and willing, you know, because I gave into the food addiction. Whatever I did, time me, Kelly, please. Whatever I did, it just did not work any longer, and I gave in. So this was my last hope. Going to my first meeting, I identified with people. I said, oh, my God, you know, I felt at home. They're dealing with the same addiction as I'm dealing, the allergy. And I saw the happy, the joyful faces there. And I said, well, if it's working, my sponsor said, it's working for me. If it's going to work for all these people, it's going to work for you too. And I was sold. I was ready and willing to surrender to who. I remember surrendering in my bathroom. God, who you are, whatever you are, please help me. And that was the beginning of my big spiritual experience right that moment. I was like the minister man, the son. I'm a minister's daughter. That was the beginning of my spiritual experience, and that's what brought me back to the second meeting and over for the last 37 years. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Vasa O. from Florida. Next up is Hana Yetta R., and then we'll have more shares. Good morning, Hana. Hana Yetta, where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Hana Yetta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. You know, miracles, of course, is my favorite thing to share about. To me, my whole life is a miracle. Even before program, the fact that I even lived until I was 21 years old was a miracle. But, you know, I know for me that it's not a surprise that there's miracles. I love miracles. I believe in miracles. And I've seen a lot of miracles in my life. I've been coming to OA since 1981. And just my whole life, again, is a miracle. But what I've had to do is when I pray, I open my palms facing up facing the heavens, and I just say, God, I'm giving you me, like the prayer says. I'm giving you all of me, the good and the bad. But I feel, I sit still and want to feel the presence of that higher power, that power that is not within me. I always thought that I was the higher power, that I was the one who was in control, and I still like to be in control sometimes. but then I realize is that that's what got me in trouble most of my life. So I try to give it up again. You know, take it from me. I don't want it. And I just, wow, there's so much I want to say. It's going around and around in my head, but it's not seeming to come out my mouth. As soon as I say thank you, and then it's all going to come back. But just take a deep breath, because I do have another little bit of time. It says, what is it but a miracle of healing? Oh, healing is so important to me, because 5 months ago I had a huge surgery, and I'm healing from that. And it's a really slow process, really slow. It's one of the longest processes I've had, I think, and I've had a lot of surgeries in my life. But it is healing, little bit by little bit. And I think that sometimes in the program we have to realize that, or I have to realize, that my healing, my miracles, sometimes come very slow. They're very slow. And, but you know what? They're all worth waiting for. So if you're out there and you want a miracle,
just that's time, Hanayeta.
Thank you. Don't quit before the miracle happens. And it's out there for you. So don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And I love you all. Thank you again for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. Well, just a reminder where we're at, in case you came in late or don't remember. We are in We Agnostics, page 57, first paragraph that says, what is this but a miracle of healing? Through that one paragraph ending with, his maker, then he knew, commenting on that one paragraph. So we're going to have some more sharing, but remember, if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. So who would like to share today?
PC.
G.
Jennifer C.
Alexa F.
Alexis F. I got Pete, Christine, Jennifer, Alexis. Who else?
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Anybody else? All right, well, make sure you guys press star one so we can have a nice quiet meeting. We'll go ahead and get started with Pete B, followed by Christine G. Hey, good morning, Pete. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, and my name, like I said, is Pete B., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, you know, I got to remember, you know, it's important that we have, you know, we have definitions, right? And words have meaning, and it's important that that I know what they are. It's important that I know what they are. And I have to remember that, you know, the fact that I'm walking around in a fit and healthy, energetic body is not a miracle. You can explain that. I don't eat more than I have to, and I move an appropriate amount, and as a result, I have a fit and healthy energetic body, right? And the fact that I have accountability and responsibility for my actions and my behaviors, not a miracle. I do what I say I'm going to do with the best of my ability. And as a result of that, I have some pride and I have some dignity, and those are results of processes. You can explain all that, right? The miracle is, I'm not timing myself, so you can just cut me off whenever you want. But the miracle is that the merciless obsession to compulsively overeat and compulsively engage in behaviors that I know are harmful to me, that's what the miracle is.
that's what gets removed. That's what's got been removed, right? We announce on a regular basis the term we recovered. The word recover means to be returned to normal, right? It means return to normal. And sanity means that we are reasonable and sensible behavior or thinking, right? The ability to think and behave in a new and considered, in a way considered to be normal and rational. Right, so I have to ask, what does normal and rational look like? For me, normal and rational is, you know what, I'm aware, I know I have a condition that if I eat these substances, it causes the phenomena of craving, and I get to make a choice in what I'm going to put in my body. And I choose not to put things in my body because I know they're going to cause an abnormal reaction and I'm not going to be able to stop. That is what it means to be restored to sanity. I know what the problem is. I don't put my hand over a hot flame because I know it's going to burn me. And that's what happens as a result of working the steps. Now, in addition to that, I get to rely on this power that did the impossible to address all of the issues of my life, to recognize that I don't have to be the only solution to every problem I have. Right? What I have the opportunity to do is to submit, to align my will with God through working this program, and then the sanity returns, and I'm able to utilize the resources that the Creator has instilled in all of us. The ability to think sanely and normally, the ability to act properly in the appropriate circumstances.
That's time, Pete.
And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And if everybody could please check their phones and press star one. There's somebody unmuted, and there's a lot of background noise. So we really appreciate a nice, quiet meeting so we can hear all the shares. All right, so next up we have Christine G. followed by Jennifer C. Good morning, Christine. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Christine G. in Connecticut, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And the fact that I can say that is a miracle in and of itself, because I've been reflecting on my pride over my decades of life and how I was so shame-ridden by this disease and the very many aspects of it throughout my life. And so I'm thinking that miracle does not mean magic. It means that there is some form of divinity there, and it's up to me to bow to that, really, to be humbled to that, so that I don't take it for granted. And in doing that fearless moral inventory and that practicing that rigorous honesty, I have to look at the decades of arrogance of saying thank you to all the little miracles that have taken place in my life with regards to recovery and outside of recovery, that I can say thank you and feel humbled by and blessed by in the moment and for however long that lasts, until I take it for granted, until I forget God's presence. And so I am really working on, and I feel some freedom from the insanity today. And I'm only just about 3 weeks back after a really horrific, you know, couple of years in the jungle, so, of insanity. And I'm just really grateful to be here, and I just pray to remain humble and in awe, to practice awe of the miracles that this program offers through helping me to stay on my knees in my connection with God. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Christine G. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Jennifer C., followed by Alexis F. Hey, good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So grateful to be here with all of you. What is this but a miracle of healing? You know, for the longest time, I thought step one about being done. Got to be done. You got to be done. Are you done yet? You got to be done. I remember when I started to really understand that if I fully concede to my innermost self, which this book tells me is the first step of recovery. The first step is not telling you that I'm done. The first step is not listening to podcasts on powerlessness. The first step is not reflecting on all my horrible binges and what this disease has done to me. The first step is that I have to fully concede. Look up those words, concede. What does that mean? Fully concede to my innermost self, not to my sponsor, not on the line. Doesn't matter. Writing assignment after writing assignment. Fully concede to my innermost self where only me and God exist, right? That I am this real deal compulsive overeater, which means that my step one became, I'm not gonna be done. I'm not gonna be done. No matter how much I think I am, no matter how much I wanna be, no matter how much I'm destroying myself with my own hands, I'm not gonna be done unless and until I experience an entire psychic change, which, by the way, I can't bring about on my own. I can't bring it about. So now what? I'm going to keep doing this. I am guaranteed to keep destroying myself with food until I experience this change that can only come from this process and the power of God. Step one, I'm not done and I'm not going to be done. I need God. And so what this book tells me is that I have to work as if this whole thing depends on me and my efforts. I have to pour myself into this work as if the whole thing rests on how much work I do, right? That's how I have to act. I have to act like it all depends on me to do the assignments, to make the calls, to get to the meetings, all the things, right? But I have to pray as if it all depends on God because it actually does. It all depends on God's power in my life. But I got to keep acting like it all depends on me because my will needs to partner with God's will. And it's interesting because he knew after he offered himself to God. He offered himself first and then he knew that something had happened that was miraculous. I have a healer and I also have a great physician. What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, the great physician tells me what to do. Here's your prescription, sweetheart. You want to get better?
That's time, Jennifer.
Here's the steps. And then I partner with God. I give him my will. I give him my life. We're in a partnership together in my own healing journey. So with that, I pass. We're the lucky ones that cannot do this thing on self-reliance, and that is a gift. Love you all.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. We are the lucky ones. Next up, we have Alexis F., followed by Kelly H. Good morning, Alexis. Where are you calling from?
I have had a certain fantasy for the past 37 years. I'm free of it now for about 11. But the other day I was watching TV and sort of something came up. And I said, oh, my God, I'm like that. And it was a step. It was down the ladder for my self-esteem and for my personality. And I thought about it, and I started praying about it, and I said, God, please don't let me go back to that again. I don't want to be chained to that fantasy. And suddenly my mind started working in a mindset that said, that's not true. You know, it's just not true. You've come a long way. You've made a lot of progress. You're not the same person that you were 48 years ago. You've come to have intuition and wisdom that have solved the problem for me, and that comes from God. My sponsor said to me that I kept calling her and calling her all day long and saying, you know, I did this and I did that. She said, why don't you go to God first before you call anybody? And I called on God and I asked him to please help me with it over and over and over again, not the same prayer, but talking to him. And after a while, I started to grow, and it was the beginning of really working the program. I have my ups and downs with food. Sometimes it's not as well as I would like it to be. I'll have white bread every once in a while, something with white flour in it. But I get right back on track right away. And I don't know if there'll come a time when I can't, but I know for now that I don't linger along in those holes of despair where my mind is in trash and my body is in the garbage food. So thank you. And thanks for listening and thanks for being there.
Well, thank you so much, Alexis F. Next up, we have Kelly H., and then we'll have time for some more shares. Good morning, Kelly. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater, beginning day two of abstinence. And I absolutely love this chapter in the big book and getting back in and working the steps. Is just fantastic. It's been a long time since I've actively been in the big book, and I'm so grateful for the service of those who keep bringing it to me. So thank you, moderator, and everyone here who's sharing. What I like about this, and it's speaking to me a lot, is what is this but a miracle of healing? When I think of miracles, I think of things that are just instantaneous. So it's an immediate thing. It's a timed thing. And yet, the circumstances, when I hear the word circumstances, I often think of things that have been made over time. Where I'm thinking of like weather situations. Here comes the hurricane. It takes several days to get over to us on the East Coast or whatever. I often think of circumstances as a result of things that have happened in a buildup of time. So when I look at this paragraph, there's the instant thing of healing, but in relation to this guy, this minister's son, he had a lifetime of trouble, beginning with a rebellious spirit in his particular, you know, faith, and just this overdosing and judgment, and then in his life, the ensuing insanity and business failure, and he probably had some mental illness issues going on, but it just was a progressive thing. And I think that's the takeaway for me, is that my circumstances have been building up a lot. I'm 53, and there just isn't a way to fix this on my own. In fact, I can't do anything to stop the progression of this disease. But yet, all I need to do is that humbling, offering myself to my maker, then I could know it, that the miracle of healing is not for a secret few, those that meet the cadre of, oh, I've been recovered for 20 plus years, boom, I have this miracle. It's for everyone who makes themselves available to God. I believe that. And on day two, I'm standing firm in it. And I hear it in those who are recovered here today. I want what you have. Thank you for sharing. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Hey, guys, we have time for a couple more shares on the paragraph today. Who would like to share that hasn't shared in the last 3 days? Anybody want to share?
Yeah, can I?
Who's this?
Huh? This is Pedro B.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, Pedro, let me see if anybody else wants to share.
Okay.
Anybody else like to share? We have time for another share.
Carrie E.
Maya.
Is it Maya?
Yeah, Maya from New York.
Maya? All right. All right, Pedro, you're up. No, followed by Maya. Carrie may have time. Go ahead, Pedro. Where are you calling from?
Calling from San Bernardino, California. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so the question is, what is this but a miracle of healing? Yes, the miracle of healing. That is, for me, the miracle of healing is the fact that at this moment, I'm not compulsive overeating. A compulsive overeater not eating compulsively, that is a miracle for me. And I'm so grateful. I'm just feeling so grateful this morning about that. But of course, it's early. It's early here in California. There's somebody with an open mic there. Well, I guess I can't do anything about that. All right, so I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Vision, for you. Thank you for everybody. I mean, the miracle, you know, I'm the 68-year-old man now that I go to an adult daycare. It's called Miracle. So, there is another miracle. The fact that I'm still alive after, you know, so many illnesses and so many challenges. You know, I mean, we are alive. The miracle of life. But anyway, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. God. Thank you, Vision for You. Thank you, Steps. Thank you, Traditions. Thank you, Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pedro B. from California. Next up, we have Maya. What's the initial of your last name? And remind me where you're calling from. Maya? Star one. Can't hear you,
Hi.
Maya.
Hi,
oh,
can you hear me?
We are.
It's
yeah.
Maya K, and it's spelled okay. M-A-I-J-A with a J. And I'm from New York.
All right. You got 3 minutes.
Okay. Thanks. I'm Maya K with a J in my first name. In recovery from bulimia and compulsive overeating. And I guess I haven't shared in a long time. And I guess I really liked hearing somebody's running a sink or something. I just wanted to share about, I guess, the miracle of recovery that I've had in OA and Vision, and just that I was just praying before, and I realized, you know, how Vision has really brought me to a relationship with God where I can turn my life and my will over to God instead of me telling God what to do. And just how I, like, just after Halloween, how I used to be, I mean, I would just be dying to eat every bit of candy all the time, and how free I feel, just really enjoying, like, the sky and taking pictures this morning and just feeling happy about the weather and just really grateful for things, making a gratitude list and what a miracle that is and just how far I've come in this program in every aspect. And I just feel like I'm doing a two-way prayer and just having God say, you know, there's a time for everything, you know, even like friends and things like that. Cause I can be very private and not trust people. But I just wanted to share because I haven't shared and I feel like God is just telling me, you know, God's there with me and I can just be myself. It can be scary to share. And I've had bad experiences, but you know what? God loves me. And I just feel like God says, Maya, you know, I love you. And just where I'm at in whatever state I'm at and we're all God's children. You know, we're all creations of this one power. And, you know, I'm grateful for where I'm at. And I just want to keep surrendering to that power. So I don't want to take my will back and mess up my life. So I just keep praying and hoping that, you know, God is still doing, that God's doing, you know, its will in my life. And, you know, I just hope that that's what's happening. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. And I hope everyone has an awesome day today. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, perfect timing, Maya Kay from New York. Carrie, hopefully you can stay on for the second hour or share tomorrow. So thanks, everybody. Okay. So thank you to everybody who shared and everybody who showed up. Can't do this alone. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. So the share ID for today, in case you want to hear it again or share it with somebody, is 21886, 21886. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Lynn S., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everybody. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater, Toronto. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass with others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.